CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Tuesday. Good morning, everybody. I've got Lebang, I've got Mbulelo, I've got you. Oh, what more could I need? All I need. No, seriously, this is it. This is all we need tonight. Today, during the day. During the night, I don't know what you need. You need something else, maybe. The night is not my problem. It's not my area of expertise, so this is what we do. The mornings. We start your day off. You think the best things happen at night?
No,
I reckon if you could wake up on a summer's morning and it's been raining the night before, it's kind of a nice feeling. That's how I'm feeling anyway. All right, so first things first. Bulelo, I got some really interesting feedback here from Koko, who says the following. All right. I was truly shocked by Mbulelo's finish time on the 100-kilometer race, finishing 8 hours after the winner. Based on Mbulelo's high standards, he was 8 hours late. He always says ultra races are for a select few while looking down on those who do other types of running. Well, running is for everyone, even those who keep the race organizers waiting for an extra 8 hours. We should encourage people to take up running and not exclude them. Regards, Koko.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that.
Stern but fair. Stern but fair.
You don't have any further comment on this?
I love that.
Nothing else that you'd like to say?
I love
maybe?
That.
No, nothing?
No, just because I don't like it, it doesn't mean Koko's not right. So they are right. I can't fight it. You know what I mean?
Right. I just thought that was hilarious.
Bit of a hypocrite.
Yes.
No, that's very good.
Yes. And then someone called Marnu keeps on sending me messages. Like every day I get an email. Please, please, please listen to the new Adele album and give an opinion. I think it's the best ever, 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 ever. And then he sends me links to the new Adele. And yeah, you know, I'll get to it. It's just not. And why do you want my opinion on it anyway? What the hell do you care about my opinion for? I'm not the biggest Adele.
Where are you going to find the time?
Yeah.
Right,
exactly. Like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm says, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I don't have anything to say about Adele. I'm not the biggest Adele fan. I don't think about Adele's music very much. I don't dislike her. I don't love her. I'm empathetic. That's kind of how I feel about it at the moment. But if I get to it, Manu, I'll get to it. If I don't, I don't. You'll manage fine without my opinion on Adele. You know?
It's like leave Adele alone. She's going through a black guy phase right now.
And you love her, so why don't you talk about her for a second and give Manu what he wants?
How's the album?
Yeah.
No. I haven't listened to the new album, but I only like her music when she's been divorced.
Mm.
So I don't know. I'm still investigating whether this one's been heartbreak, because 19, that one slapped. Then 21 after that terrible breakup. This one, I think it was about her marriage before. I'm still trying to clear up what's happened before I listen to it. But I do love Adele. And she's going through a black guy thing right now. She's with Adele. She's with LeBron's agent right now.
Oh, right.
After Skepta. So.
Yeah,
she's going through a little phase. Yeah, well, mixing the paint, as they say.
Let me just ask you this, because there's so much that you have to do these days. Yeah, does anybody know anything? Can anyone deliver any comment on Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian? Because I see lots of stuff on the internet, lots of memes. First of all, is Pete Davidson one of the slimiest, scuzziest, scummiest, dirtiest? He looks like a heroin addict. What's going on with that guy? He used to be a funny comedian. I don't know whether Kim is into that look or what the story is.
He's still definitely funny. He's still definitely funny. I mean, a lot of his skits. Yeah, his skits are still great. I think he's still got the talent. He's got the entertainment on lock. That hasn't changed. All that's happening right now is that Kim is being a little bit of a cock block because her sister is actually happy. Her sister's finally married and Khloe's in love. And
Khloe,
Courtney, everything's great.
Yeah.
So Courtney is married to Travis Barker, right?
All right?
And that's like a real thing. Like they've been dating for like 3 years and he engaged and it's a real thing.
Mm.
So Kim's like, oh my gosh, Courtney's getting all this hype, all this shine. I can also find me a talented white man do who you, looks cool.
Do
that's
you
all that's
think,
happening.
Do you think that the Kardashians' lives are so absolutely puerile that they compete with each other like this? I mean, what you're telling me is that she can't be happy for her own sister, even though there's plenty of happiness to go around in that family. I mean, there's so much money, there's so much attention, there's so much everything. What kind of a horrible existence are you living if you have to be in competition with your siblings when everything else is going so well? Really?
I mean, you've got money, you're Kim Kardashian, surely you're okay, right? You should be fine with the fact that for a second you aren't the main Kardashian.
Right.
But it's really just become so sinister and so obvious that she can't just sit back and let her sister be happy. This is like my opinion.
I mean, honestly.
It's weird. How do you go from Kanye West?
I know.
Kanye to motherfucking
this, to
West.
This loser guy. Because he really, I mean, he's not the world's greatest comedian. I mean, no one's lining up to see his stand-up shows, and he's on SNL, but he's not even the best person on SNL, as far as I can figure it out. He's got these dark rings under his eyes, and he looks like he's on huge amounts of heroin. Now, Kim, I don't want to talk too much about the Kardashians because I don't have that much to say about them. But Kim, as far as I can tell, is the best of the Kardashians. She's the best-looking one. She's got the most success. She's the one who propelled them onto the stage with a sex tape. Let's not forget that. The mom can't hold a candle to her. The other two sisters are like Cinderella's ugly stepsisters. They're really not pretty. And then she's got those two younger stepsisters with Caitlyn Jenner. And those two are, I mean, as far as I can tell, their appeal is strictly for Gen Z. And, you know, they have their own thing going on, and they're way more attractive than the Kardashians, those Jenners. But why would Kim be threatened by any of these other maniacs in her family? What's that all about? Can't she just be happy for them? Be single for a while. You've just broken up with Kanye West.
When you've been the Beyonce all your life, if that's all you want. When you're the main person all the time and they're only writing about you and it's all about you, it almost becomes like second nature for it to stay like that. She cannot for even one moment let Courtney have this moment. She just can't. And that just kind of shows what a loser she really is. I think she's just really giving off loser energy right now. And it's just like, okay, Kardashians, you guys have been whack. Clearly, this is all you guys are good at. And goodbye. Like, nobody cares that much.
What do you think?
They suck.
I mean, is this a huge... Because let's just say, so Pete's obviously funny. I mean, I don't think he's not interested. I think he's probably a lot funnier than 99% of us, right? So does funny still count more than anything else? Because he's got nothing in the looks department. I mean, maybe he's got a dick like a baby's arm holding an apple. Because wasn't he with Ariana Grande before this? So the guy's obviously he's got something. And, you know, they always say if you're a man and you can make women laugh, then that's the best place to start. Do you think that's what it is?
But that can't be it. How many guys and really funny guys do you think have tried to make Kim laugh? And she's probably laughed. She's probably laughed, oh, that guy's really funny. But this is just too well-timed. I mean, if you look at Travis Barker, that's a good guy.
She's out of black guys. All the black guys are finished
reacting. She's just reacting to the fact that Courtney actually found somebody dope and he's actually a respectable guy and he's really cool. Like, Travis Barker's one of the coolest guys, consistently been cool for years. Wasn't he in like Blink-182 or something? Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
So she just gone and found like a watered down version of him, a super, super diluted version of him, just so that
but
she can
Jesus
also be in the
Christ. It's has so he has Travis Barker got enough tattoos? Good Lord, there's no real estate left on the man for you to make tattoos except his face. And even that's starting to be covered. He looks like a prisoner, crossed with a sailor, crossed with a someone who murders and eats people. That's what he looks like.
Oh, damn.
I know he's a cool guy, and obviously with Blink-182, he's been hugely successful, and he's no idiot, but he looks appalling. Appalling. I'm all for tattoos, but Jesus, no one to stop. Anyway, I know that this is unusual. It's very difficult for us to bring up the Kardashians on this show. I mean, Michael says Mbulelo is as interested as most of us in these cardigans. I mean, Kardashians, whatever. Move on, boring, says Sven. You see? I mean, I move on, please, says Venetia.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, I'll leave it alone. I saw the memes over the weekend, and I was like, well, maybe I got to bring this up on the show. Can't just pretend it's not happening. Sid says, boring conversation, move on. Robin says, got a big Mtondo for sure.
Oh, Davidson.
Well, can we just
maybe
talk?
He's packing heat.
Can we just talk about how, like, LeBang, you're the only one who can really talk about this with any authority. Like, if a guy can make a girl laugh, that's probably the number one thing, right? I mean.
No, for sure. You're already like 10 steps ahead. All the work has been done. Yeah. Because if you can crack me up and like really authentically, chances are you can do it for most of your life. And
right.
That's really what I'm here for, to laugh and to smile and stuff. So, yeah, funny guys always win.
That's important. I like that. That if we can learn anything from this, let it be that there is hope for any man, as long as you can make a woman laugh. The rest doesn't really matter. You could be poor, you could be ugly, you could be thin and weedy or big and fat, you can be not particularly high scoring on any major scale. Just make them laugh. And I mean, that's how I got through high school, so I can speak with some experience. Only reason I got any attention from any of the girls at high school was because I was funny. I made them laugh. So,
Or be rich.
What
you want to be is rich.
Yeah.
Rather be rich than funny.
Guess what?
I'm neither now.
I'll tell you what, it's harder to be rich than it is to be funny.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who think they're funny out there.
Yeah.
I actually don't know if that one works out.
No.
Being funny is really hard.
People who think they're funny and people who are funny are very different things.
Which is why I'm saying that I would say it's more likely to get rich than to actually be funny. There are very few funny people. Like, I don't know that many people where I go, jeepers, I need a break. Like, get out of the room. You know those people. I don't know if you know those people. They just come in the room and they are just hysterical immediately about everything.
Yeah. Well, Robin says, few funny guys left. Well,
yeah. No, Mbulelo's right as well.
Yeah.
Like, you're more likely to get rich than you are to be funny. Like, it's almost as if being funny is like a natural. Dude, you have to have like a natural knack for it. Anybody can be rich if they decide to become rich. You can't wake up and say, you know, I want to go be funny. I mean, you can go to schools or whatever, but if you just don't have it naturally, you're kind of like forcing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But being rich, if you want to, and, you know, make sacrifices and all that stuff, you can do it.
I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm again yesterday, which is why I did the Larry David impersonation. And, you know, it's season 11, and I think there are already 6 episodes out. But my God, he's funny. I mean, he starts wrestling this tiny woman who's carrying his bags. He hires a car. So he hires a car, and they, you know, when you get a chauffeur to drive you from the airport, for example, and they've done this for me a couple of times when I've landed at Oar Tambo. And then normally they send like a strapping guy who can carry bags, because, you know, if you've had a long trip, you've got 2 or 3 bags and they're heavy. And then they always say to you, can I take your bags for you, sir? And I always go, yeah. But he gets this tiny little woman at the airport, this small, she's tiny. And she's not exactly young either, and he refuses to let her carry the bags because he says it's not a good look. And then he carries the bags, but he screws up his back, you know, because he's got all these heavy bags. And so then this woman gets sent to his house a second time, and he's like, all right, you carry the bags. And she goes, and she really struggles to carry them, and he ends up like saying to her, no, look, don't worry, I'll take them. And she goes, no, no, I've got them. And he goes, no, no, let me take them. And then they end up wrestling on the ground for the bags. And someone films it and puts it on YouTube. And it's so embarrassing for him. I mean, these are the kinds of things that actually happen to people. And I don't think for a second that he just made that up. I think he actually had something like that happen to him. And
really?
Yeah, I do.
A tad dramatic. Yeah.
No, he's a whack job, and he gets into these situations all the time. Where do you think he gets this material from? He's a walking, talking embarrassment, and everybody who knows the real Larry David, and they've said so in interviews, and they say this is the stuff that actually happens to him. And there's funny in things like that, and he can get. I mean, he's like an old bald, not particularly easy to be around dude. I mean, he's really a complicated motherfucker, right? But women love him. Women love him. He's old and bald, but he's got lots of success. He's got lots of money, and he's hilariously funny. That's the combo you want. And he's in his 60s, and the guy's probably...
At least.
I mean, I'd rather be him than Tom Cruise. He's having a lot more fun than Tom Cruise, tell you that much. First of all, Tom Cruise is in that cult, that Scientology stuff.
Yeah, that can't be that funny.
No, he's not funny at all.
Yeah,
no, Tom Cruise.
He's
no.
not funny. No, he's not funny. He's a bit of a psycho, if anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, none of his ex-wives love him anymore, right? They all want to stay the hell away from him, even if they've got kids with him. That just tells you the whole story. Lovely Lady Lee says, you can go to a Sangoma to get rich. Yes, you can. We all know that.
This is true. This is true.
There's ways, there's shortcuts.
Yeah. Annette says you can only be truly funny if you're very smart. I think that's probably true. Really rich people who think they're funny, they usually have Klingons who laugh because just maybe they'll get something in it for themselves. Same with famous people and friends. Are they real? Yeah. Yeah, I don't really care. I mean, there was a time where I thought fame was an important thing. And then I realized, like, it didn't matter if some people were around me because I was famous, in South African terms anyway. So what? As long as they were good company.
Like a lot of those people have, like, yes men just, like, lingering around them. Because obviously having yes men around you makes you feel more affirmed, right? If your joke sucks and they all laugh, you automatically feel better about yourself. Like, ha, I am funny. Look at all my yes men agreeing with me. I mean, it's pretty lame.
Yeah. You get hype people. You don't have friends.
Yep.
But I could see why they do it. So one of the greatest sportsmen of all time is a guy called Derek Jeter. And in the season, he would have people walking with him because, I mean, that level of pressure to be him under the Steinbrenners at the... So he would have guys around him like all
please,
the time
pressure.
That
you
are just yes
to, you
guys.
You have to hit a ball. That's all pressure.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. That's exactly what baseball is, yeah. It's just hit a ball, yeah.
Hit
and
a
then
ball.
Just all you have to do is run to the base. Yeah, no, that's true. I hadn't thought about it that way. Now that you put it that way, what was he on about?
Right.
And he only got $450 million. So.
Okay, but you were saying he would walk around with a crew of people around him the whole time?
Yeah. But only yes guys in the season. So like those yes guys that Lebang's talking about. Because he said he doesn't need that energy for 180 games a season. Yeah. It's hard enough trying to be the face of like Steinbrenner's, probably the greatest dynasty America's ever produced, and also have the media and have people and have the girls and have all of the stuff coming at me. No, thank you. I've just got my dudes with me and they're going to roll with me everywhere I go.
But isn't that dangerous? Wouldn't you say? Because on one end, sure, I get the aspect of like protecting your peace or whatever. And like being quite specific about who you want to hang around you. Yeah. But if you're like now putting up this sort of like fake wall of just yes men, you're kind of disconnecting yourself from what's really happening. And if you really are fucking up in that moment, wouldn't you want to have someone around you that's like, yo, dude, maybe this didn't work. Let's try something else. Like, are you just okay with, you know, living in this oblivion just for the sake of whatever? I don't know. I think it's a bit flawed. But hey, it's a lot of games.
Yeah. I would hate to have hype people around me. I'd get so bored. I'd find it frustrating and irritating because, you know, ultimately, like, you don't know who to believe and people are saying things that make you feel good, but it's not necessarily true. And then you start going down a path where you believe all the hype and you forget who you really are. That's not good.
Can't be.
No, it's bullshit.
It's tough.
All right, so... There's an interesting thought. Michael says, a famous person once told me that that celebrity is a mask that eats away your face. Wow.
Name and shame.
Yeah.
Who told you that, Michael?
I think that, again, having had like a tiny, tiny experience of what it's like to be famous. And fame is just, it's another drug. And some people get addicted to it and they want more and they want more and they want more. And I think you reach a point where it is not possible to sustain the level of celebrity that some people are at. Like if you're a major Hollywood A-lister or you are a huge pop music star, or you're a massive sports star. I think ultimately you are chasing a goal that you just cannot maintain, and it will become obsessive and very, very dangerous in the long run. Because nobody really knows. Nobody really knows what it feels like to go from those highs to those lows, except the people who've been in them. And I don't think it's pleasant. I mean, you can see they just deteriorate really quickly. And then people also say, oh, you know, whatever happened to X actress or whatever? And you realize that they burnt out completely. They hit the skids and they weren't getting the love that they thought they needed, which brings us back to Kim Kardashian again. And maybe you're right, Lebung. Maybe that's what she's after, is that high. And it's gone now because, you know, her fame, her moment has passed and she hasn't got any saleable talent. So she really has to, in her personal life, court this kind of fame. She has to date a new guy, or she has to do something outrageous with her body, or, you know, she has to wear something stupid to the Met Gala. She has to do that stuff. There's a huge amount of pressure on her to keep her level of fame at a certain height because she's addicted to it now. Whereas if you're a singer or an actor or a dancer or a comedian, you can create beautiful material and people will go, oh, wow, okay, you know, she's still hot, or he's still got it, or there's still some talent in there. Because she hasn't got that talent. Nobody knows what she's famous for. She doesn't even know. So it's got to be huge pressure.
That's sad. Go for it.
No, I was saying, yeah, it devoured a friend of mine who, I mean, she was a Grammy Award winner, and it devoured her in the UK. It was a really sad end to things.
Who's that?
But I met a, sorry?
Who?
Don't worry about that. But I tell you who I met who was the perfect level of fame.
Who?
I had the most ridiculous job for a while. I don't know if I've told you this, where I used to get to kind of chaperone movie stars in Cape Town.
Who had the perfect?
I met Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah?
Richard Gere has the perfect level of fame. Like he was still making $30 million a year, and we went for a pizza like in the middle of Sea Point. He just put a cap on. He was
nobody
just a white guy.
Yeah.
Like nobody said a thing.
That's ideal.
And there I was sitting with Richard Gere.
Yeah, big
like,
deal.
Nobody said a thing. That is awesome.
And he's a big deal. He was like the sexiest man in the world for a while.
He's rich. He's got the perfect level of $30 million per film, and I can just disappear with a baseball cap.
Yeah, and you have to have made plenty of money. You have to have nothing to prove. Like he did how many huge movies that grossed, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Mm.
So he knows he's got the chops, right? He doesn't have to prove anything to anyone. Plus, he was a good actor apart from just being good looking. You know, I think you could say that about Brad Pitt, and you could say that about Tom Cruise too. They're successful.
Mm.
They're not just good looking. Keanu Reeves is another one somebody mentioned in the comments. He could also, and I think he travels on the subway. He like puts a cap on and sits down with everyone else. And he's got the right level of fame. Like people aren't swarming him, and his life isn't a fucking nightmare. Like I can't imagine it's any fun for those same Kardashians we started talking about at the beginning of this, because the kind of people who are obsessive about the Kardashians are exactly the sort of people you don't want to be famous to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Agreed.
They'll buy your stuff.
No.
But they'll buy your stuff. So it's a tricky one, because you do kind of want all in, you know, like, you know, the like the Beyonce fans, whatever you call them,
yeah.
Justin Bieber fans, the Kardashian
Beehive
fans,
the,
they're all in.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare say that about Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like you,
they diehard stands, like proper stands.
Crazy. These people are crazy.
The next good thing for Kim is just to create like a Barbie doll that looks like her and just run with that. Like, she's running out.
That's
of
not
options.
A bad idea. Yeah, that just, could be, you see, you should be a manager. Anyway, so Bulela wants to know, and this is a good question, are cinemas still open? That's a good question. I haven't been to the movies in ages. Can you go to the movies now? I think so. Why not?
I think you can, yeah.
Really? Like, who's still going now, though? Like, are people just taking their two kids and their husband, or what?
Yeah, you could go to
like
the movies.
Is it chockers?
I don't think it's chockers.
Is it like,
I think there are a lot of people going to the movies. I'm sure. I mean, they haven't closed down cinemas all over the country. Have you heard that?
I haven't been to the, honestly, I haven't been to the movies since we had the job. What was the Jojo Rabbit?
Mm.
That was my first time at the movie since I watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in like 2010 or whatever. I haven't been to the big screen since then. So I was just wondering, how is this industry going to go on when people can now watch movies on their cell phones? But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people still love that whole experience.
Yeah.
Sean
there's
says,
certain movies where you can go to the cinema.
Sean says it's always better on the big screen. You remember that was the
liner. That line will live forever, huh?
Yeah, I pledge to that. On the 16th of December, I am going to the movies to watch the brand new Spider-Man. I'm taking my kids. I am so excited. It's the kind of movie I can't wait for it to come onto my leg. No, I'm going to give them my money. Here, Marvel, take my money. I want that experience.
Eddie says 345,000 rand for a ticket, popcorn and Coke. So that's probably one of the reasons it's not as big anymore.
It's murder. They do get you, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, no, popcorn is just like 50 bucks for popcorn. Or
when I get to my leftovers.
No. They are bastards.
Carl says cinemas are still open. They're battling because of COVID, but they're up. Support them. Yeah, I agree with that.
Wow, Carl.
Jean says she went to see Venom 2. Oh, it was a guy. Sorry, I keep calling Jean a girl. Sorry, Jean. So it's a Jean guy. He says, I was the only guy in the cinema. It was lovely. Yeah, that's also
awesome.
That is nice. I mean, you get
and Tom Hardy's
yourself.
Awesome as well.
Right. Who has the money to go to the cinema, says Katu Cat. Doesn't popcorn cost like 200 rand already? Listen, I don't want to bitch about this for too long, but it's worth bringing up because it is our reality and we need to be adult about this and face up to it. So I am furious that the petrol price is almost 20 rand a liter of petrol from this week, right? And you know that all of that is tax. It's got nothing to do with the international oil price. This is the government pulling a stealth tax on us. If you look at the price of petrol a year ago, and I stand to be corrected on this, but someone sent me a one of those animated little videos and everything. It was 11 rand 60 something this time last year. So that means it's almost doubled in price since last year. Is that true? Is that possible? Because I'm willing to say that's bullshit if someone can say to me, you know, that's not how it is. That's nonsense. But someone sent me this little thing on WhatsApp and I was like, no way. If they've doubled the price of petrol in a year, that's just outrageous. Is that right? If somebody knows for sure, please let me know.
It's possible.
Huh.
Petrol.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's true.
Petrol costs more than milk, Tracy says. More than milk. 65% of petrol, according to Patrick, is tax. Oh my God. Yeah. See?
Wow.
Of the 20 rand, something like 14 rand is tax, according to Carl.
Yes.
Unbelievable. If that's true, I mean, we should not be tolerating this. That they think that it's okay. You know what this is doing? And they think that they're only taxing people who have cars. People who get into taxis are carrying that cost for the taxi. You think the taxi bus is going to go, oh, I'll take the hit. You think the driver of the taxi is going to go, oh, I'll take the hit. They pass it on to the customer. Let me tell you something. This means everyone's cost of living goes up. Everyone. It's the most unfair tax of all because it hits everybody where they can least afford it to get to work, for heaven's sake. Mm. Oh, man. Food prices, obviously.
Digital Vibes season 2 coming up.
Yeah. And you know this is just the way that they're trying to get money out of us. I find this appalling. I really do. This government are such a den of thieves. It's going up another 81 cents at midnight tonight. That's it. So fill up today, I suppose. And I need to fill up today, not because I'm trying to avoid the costs, but because my tank is empty, so I'm going to have to do this today. And that means queues, you know? But I suppose if I can save 81 cents a litre, I'll do it. 81 cents a litre is a hell of a steep increase.
That's so much money.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Oh my God.
That is so much money per liter.
Keenan says,
like, think about
utter bullshit. We have to pay so much for fuel. Yes. Utter bullshit. Fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Mbulela. You were saying, just think.
No, it's just like, you know, we think about obviously just our cars, but naturally, yeah. If that's going up, they're not playing around with any of the other fuels, the fossil fuels that are out there, right? Right. Most of this country is still an informal settlement country and still rural.
Correct.
And I say that because I come from that home. People are, their stoves, they're cooking. That's happening through that. They're not just taxing you and me who think we're Lanis here pretending to have money in Joburg.
Mm-mm.
Everyone right down to people with no electricity in their homes is going to feel this. Yes-y. These people.
And someone said to me the other day, it's all part of a plan that they have to, first of all, make petrol and diesel more expensive than electricity because people with generators have to buy petrol and diesel for those generators, and that's the way that they save themselves from Eskom's uselessness. So now we'll say, oh, well, you know, it's more expensive to just pay Eskom. I mean, to just get petrol and diesel, so we'll pay Eskom. And then there are people who say, well, it's all part of the global kind of climate change movement because they're trying to make fuel more expensive so that we all either stop using fuel or we buy electric cars, which, I mean, listen, we talk to George about this every week on this show. And we talk about electric cars in other parts of the show too. We can't all afford those cars yet. And they're still quite expensive, you know. And even, again, the electricity is the problem because we don't have a reliable electricity supply in this country yet. So you're giving people a catch-22 problem here where there's nowhere they can go to solve the problem. I mean, unless you've got lots and lots of money and you can afford to put your whole house on solar – and maybe you've got batteries and all that kind of thing, which really is expensive. It's a couple of hundred thousand rand, you know. We can't all afford that. They're forcing us into a corner here. And Botswana, according to Chris, listen to this. According to Chris, Botswana gets its fuel from South Africa. They only pay 9 rand a liter. How the fuck? It's almost worth just crossing the border into Botswana every week, filling up your car there. You'll pay half the price, right?
It'll be cheaper to drive all the way there from Joburg.
Yeah.
Cross the border. Yeah.
Doug says December 2020, it was 14 Rand 46. Now it's 20 Rand 35. Mm-hmm.
$5 in a year, eh?
Yeah.
That's insane.
The saving is 60 Rand on an 80 liter tank. So Robert says the saving isn't significant enough to push me to the tanks today. 60 Rand on an 80 liter tank. Sure. Simpiwe says, our own Simpiwe says, anyone know where I can get a petrol blesser? Asking me, myself, and I. Simpiwe, I don't know.
I hear you, girl.
But it's December time now. We know that blessers, it's their time to shine.
It's their moment.
Yeah, we know it's December, plus now petrol prices growing up.
Absolutely.
Sondela.
All right, let's look at a couple of headlines, shall we? Let's see what's going on in the world. First things first, we've already discussed petrol, but the details of Nosicelo Mthembeni's murder trial are getting underway now. If you don't know who this is about, this is unbelievable. It's the trial of an Eastern Cape man accused of killing that Fort Hare University student, Nosicelo Mthembeni. And it's the details in this story that people are not going to like. It's a very ugly case. You remember that Aluta Pasile pleaded guilty to her murder in East London High Court earlier on Monday. He also pleaded guilty to defeating the ends of justice. The young woman was found murdered in August, and the court has found and heard harrowing details about Mthembeni's murder. A chief medical officer in East London was giving evidence. The fourth-year law student was stabbed multiple times in the head, hand, and neck. The doctor testified that the dismemberment was done using an object with serrated edges. Oh, my God. This guy must be put in jail, and they must throw away the key. There's no way that you can... You know, you honestly cannot make this person right. You can't fix someone like this. Am I
Throw him away.
Oof. And speaking of people we should throw away, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's accused of preying on young girls for Epstein to abuse, she goes back on trial this week. She appeared in court in New York on Monday for the first day of her trial on sex trafficking charges. She denies the charges, and her defense claims she was being used as a scapegoat for Epstein's crimes following his death in prison in 2019. Prosecutors argue the pair were partners in crime and the sex abuse. Prosecutors say Ms. Maxwell, who also has American and French citizenship. Wow, she's got a lot of different kinds of citizenship. It's nice to be rich. Recruited and groomed underage girls for her long-term companion Epstein to abuse. She preyed on vulnerable young girls, manipulated them, and served them up to be sexually abused, according to Assistant District Attorney Laura Pomerantz in her opening statements. She has pleaded not guilty.
Throw her away.
Yeah, throw her away as well. There we go. We got two people we can throw away. Unatinkai says on her being fired and her fallout with Sizwe Dlomo, she was silenced by Kaya. Yes, she's spoken up about her verbal argument with former colleague and media personality Sizwe Dlomo in her sudden axing from Kaya FM last Friday. This month, City Press broke the news that the media personality had been axed after an argument. The publication reported she had filed a complaint with Kaya against the other presenter, Dlomo, accusing him of verbal abuse. Dlomo then took to Twitter on the same day, disputing claims he was abused. Sorry, or that he had verbally abused her. He put out this tweet and said, regarding the article in City Press, I'd like to state in the context of gender-based violence in our country, even on the backdrop of Kai's history as an organization, a false abuse claim is not only malicious, blah, blah, blah. Kai said on Friday she had broken her silence in a video on Instagram saying that she was being told by Kaya not to speak on the matter. I've been silenced by them. I've received a letter that I may not speak on the matter publicly because of my contractual agreement. So this is getting very ugly and messy. Referencing Dlomo's thread, Kaya said she had never alleged that he committed any act of gender-based violence against her. Ay, ay, ay. Poor Unati. Poor.
So I'm guessing you didn't get a hold of her.
What, me?
Hey, Gareth.
Me?
Yeah, because you said you tried to.
No, I did. We're going to see each other later this week, and then I'll ask her if she wants to come and talk about this stuff. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, Caesar literally spilled all the beans, dude. Like, he released the recording, he screenshot the emails. Like, all the evidence is out there for public consumption. It's pretty sticky.
But you see what you have to do these days in order to make sure that you aren't falsely accused of something. You have to record everything. I mean, you know what this is going to do for normal interpersonal relations, let alone professional relations at work? It's going to make it impossible for people to just have conversations because everyone's going to have to record everything in case there's an allegation of gender-based violence or abuse or verbal haranguing or whatever it might be. This is very bad. It's really bad.
Anyway. It's like living in North Korea.
It is, absolutely.
We're headed there, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, lots of people have opinions about that, but I don't know. Oh, Jack Dorsey's going to step down as CEO of Twitter, and people love it. No one's upset. Not one person.
Why do people hate Jack Dorsey so much?
Because he's a dickhead. I mean, so, first of all, Twitter has made people's lives a misery. It's hardly added to humanity's already difficult way of existing. So the first thing is that we hate him because he's the guy who just made Twitter. The other reason we hate him is because he's got that stupid long beard and he looks like a homeless person. Right?
I didn't know those were the reasons.
I'm also just finding out now that's why.
But apparently, so the guy he's put in is seemingly no better. A guy called Parag Agrawal. I mean, that sounds like a name from hell. He will replace Dorsey in the top post. He's been the chief technical officer for the last while. He will remain on the board until his term expires at a meeting of stockholders. But Twitter's stock rose upon the announcement that he was leaving. So, you know, normally if the CEO leaves and they're the founder, it affects things negatively. With Jack Dorsey, it affected things positively. People are like, yes, get out.
Yeah, they hate him.
Yeah. So there's some news this morning, just in case you needed to know. what was going on. All right. Apparently, according to Corona's boring Bulelo, North Korea can't afford that many cameras. You mean like London? Yeah, that's true. London have got, they do everything. Mike E says Jack Dorsey is an autocrat dressed as a hippie. And Ricey Beck says we hate Twitter. Life is better without it. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
guys, hippies are in fashion.
Are they?
I'm sorry. I believe hippies
are
back.
Big time.
They're back, dude. I was looking for a new school for my kid, and I went to like the potential school for next year. The principal has like this huge colorful hair. She's got like tattoos coming up her spine. I'm like, girl. She's like, you know, growing up, I never saw people like myself in places of power, especially within education. So I took it by the balls and I ran with it. Okay. I was like, damn, girl. Okay.
Nice.
So hippies are back, girl.
And you want your daughter to be to be taught by a hippie?
Hey, at this stage, it kind of looks like the better option, like versus an old white guy in a suit. No offense to all of those old white guys who have done so great for education.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, this could be fine. You know, she's teaching them coding. She's got like a music department where like they all just run amok. She's really like thinking that way. They're building robots from like grade R.
She's going
like,
to be okay, coming home. Okay, she's going to be coming home to you saying, Mom, why aren't we all organic? Like, why isn't everything in the fridge organic? And why are we still eating meat? Yes. And Mom, why do you drive a car? It's a gas-guzzling climate change machine.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to have
all kinds of hell. It's fine, my child. I'll be eating the meat. It's fine. She can deal. When she's at school, she'll deal with all of that.
Yeah.
I'm quite keen. Hippies are in.
Gushle says your kid is going to become an SJW. Social justice warrior. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. It's fine.
I love how that's being thrown around now as like this big negative thing. You remember like 80s or 90s when I was young, like that was an important thing. You know, when you said social justice warrior, you were talking about Nelson Mandela. Or now it's you're talking about some trust fund.
No, let's be fair. Like Nelson Mandela was a justice warrior, not a social justice warrior. You don't need to mediate the word justice with another word. Like if you are a warrior for justice, like he was a justice warrior. He came up and he fought against injustice. He didn't fight against social injustice. Social injustice is like what happens on Twitter if someone's mean to you, you know, that's social injustice. So let's not, it's also like the word woke, like people now use it as a pejorative. Like, oh my God, just ignore her. She's woke. You know, people move away from that person when you say it now.
No,
it used to be a cool thing.
It is derisive.
It was what the cool kids.
Yeah, it's extremely derisive. Cool.
Yeah.
It used to be really cool. Now it's just like meh. And most of the time they use it wrong. Meh. Stop.
Yeah. Mom, why aren't we eating?
Is your baby going to meditate at school?
Yeah, and why aren't we eating gluten-free? That's what's coming for you, Lebang, when you say that to the school.
So they're not going to be meditating, but they get to like take walks like in between classes. Like if they're really feeling like heated, the teacher will say, go and take a walk. And they've got bicycles that they can ride around during break. Guys, this is a safe haven for little people. I cannot wait. Can't wait. Yeah, it's expensive, but it'll be worth it. Go on and ride your bike, baby. Come on.
Hey, can I show you something pretty scary? Watch this quickly. This is a video someone sent me from some game reserve in Limpopo with an elephant. I don't know if you saw this on. It was all over social media yesterday. But I'll explain what's happening here. So there's a bunch of people in a game drive vehicle, and there's someone in the tracker seat on the front, you know, the front left of the car. And this elephant just comes out of nowhere. And driving. This elephant comes running out of the bushes and decides, screw this. Like, runs straight up to the car and, like, starts pushing it. And pushes it the hell out of the way. The car is, like, people are fumbling. It's a disaster. So then you just see the camera, like, the guy loses control. And then they show you the video from the car behind. You could see what happens.
Get out!
The elephant's like, screw you! And all these people are running towards the other game vehicle. Unreal, huh?
So Gareth, people can't hear you while the video was on, but maybe you just want to give that description again.
Basically, this elephant comes out of the left side of the shot and just starts nailing this car with its tusks and its trunk, and it like pushes the car off the road, and I think all the people go flying. I don't think anyone was killed in this incident, but you know, don't mess with an elephant, man. They're way bigger than you, and they've been here a lot longer, and they don't want your shit. Don't bring your crappy game vehicle into the way.
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's too much now. Like, I know it's a big part of industry and there'll be an economic argument, but every now and then human beings just need a little reminder exactly where we are in the pecking order. You
right.
know? Just a little reminder.
Yes.
Yeah, just like, yeah. And he really took it easy. He or she really took it easy on them, because usually what elephants do in that position is, not only do I knock you over, I trample. And then we could have had,
No, you don't mess with elephants. I mean, that's what Robert says here. Don't mess with elephants. And then Andre says, I believe he may require a change in undergarments. Pichleng says, talk about anger issues. That elephant needs that doctor from Mondays, Dr. Hanan.
No, man. Imagine if somebody just came unannounced and visited you, just came into your house without...
Yeah.
Seeing that they're coming. That's how that elephant feels. Like, who are y'all? And
right.
why are you here all the time?
And you know, so with like the male bull elephants, right? Mm-hmm. They reach a certain like juvenile age where they need to be sort of, they get sort of chucked out because their anger and that testosterone can't be controlled. And the bull says, no, not yet. That ain't going to happen. So they're almost on their own. Plus, they're obviously too young to mate. They can't compete with any of the males. So actually what happens with those types of elephants, I don't know if that was the case in this, they are just raging, literally raging bulls out there.
Yep.
And yeah, there can be a serious problem because they're unstoppable. Nothing can stop like a 4 or 5 year old male who's on the loose.
Well, Lindy says, this is why my dad refuses to go on any game drives. And the elephant knew that the tourists were vaxxed, says Michael. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It's also mating season, according to Tracy. The younger bulls are in adrenaline overdrive. The driver got too close and didn't give them enough space. Yes, that bull was in must. Yes, that's what they call it. Your
must, yeah.
Don't. You know what?
Have you ever been to Botswana, by the way?
Yeah, I have. I have been once. I'll get to that in a second. But I love when the animals put us in our place. I'm always on the side of the animals. You know, even if a person gets killed, that is, you need to be reminded of where you fit into the pecking order, as Mbulelo said earlier. And humans must, we've got to just take a chill pill. We've already got in the way and pretty much restricted these animals to the smallest possible territories where we've taken it all up and built our houses everywhere and put up game lodges every 5 kilometers. And we drive around as if we're in charge. You know, sometimes these other animals have got to pull one of us off the game vehicle and eat us or like smash us up or teach us a lesson. It's good. It's good. Humans need, and don't go and shoot that elephant now. That elephant's just doing what an elephant does. And I don't think we should be blaming the animals. It's our fault. Humans are the problem, not the animals. So I hope they don't take that elephant out.
Agreed.
Yeah. Don't mess with dangerous animals. Also, all these people, you see these people on Instagram and so on, they're like petting the lion and like being friends with the leopard, and you just know those videos are fine, and then the next video is fine, and then 5 videos down the line, something terrible happens, and people go, oh, it's such a tragedy. And you're like, no, it's not a tragedy. This was totally predictable. Animals?
You're just an idiot.
Animals don't care. You think you've got a relationship with this animal? It's a wild beast. It's not interested in having a relationship with you. It wants to eat, and eventually one day you will annoy it, and it will either eat you or just smack you around until you're dead. Play the game.
Yeah.
You know?
How far do you want to push it?
That Siegfried and Roy, hey, was the one where their tiger took care of him. Yeah.
Oh.
I said, it'll get you. That's the thing about animals. They will get you.
Anyway, I mean, someone brought up Carol Baskin's husband. Yeah. Anyway. So you asked about
the Tiger King.
You asked about Botswana. I haven't been out into the wild in Botswana. I've been to Gaborone, but that's about it.
But you don't need to go out in the wild. So I don't know if you know, but there's like large parts of it. There's no fences. So the one day we, a friend of mine was cycling to the salt pans, right? And so we were with her and we were filling up petrol. Hey, man, is that a rhino?
Ooh.
Wait, there's no fence there. The people are just walking, having a laugh. I was like, what the hell is actually, because I'm walking in the shop, you know? But I mean, literally, literally, if I extended my hand, I could have touched this thing. No worries. Like the Botswana, the Botswana people just walking. It's insane.
Hmm.
But hey, maybe the animals can feel it, that it's these people are all good. Or maybe it's just too hot there, by the way. It does
That's
get
also
50.
Part of it, sure. Okay, what's happening in the MKT show today? Let's get a little preview.
We got Paulo Diaz on, Ballon d'Or yesterday, which is the best football player in the world. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Who is it? Is it going to be Messi or is it going to be Ronaldo again? I mean, this is how it works every
it's,
time,
it's
right?
It's already Messi, yeah.
Yeah.
It was last night. People are up in arms.
I mean, it's not a surprise. Why are people up in arms?
Yeah. I don't know, because people get emotional. You know... That supporting means. Your football club is like your wife. You know, once you've chosen it, you have to be all in, and to get divorced is a disaster. So you can't just change. People are super invested in their football teams.
What about when like players get switched around? Like, don't you follow the player?
No, it's not basketball. No. Europe and America, very different. Very different cultures.
Well, Messi deserves it.
So,
I'm also
absolutely.
It's either him or Cristiano Ronaldo. We live in that era. It's great. Let it happen. Ooh. It's fine. I don't want any variety there. I did see Novak Djokovic has refused to get the vaccine, and he says even if they tell him he can't partake in the Australian Open, he's not getting the vaccine. He said, "I'd rather just not do the Oz Open." What do you think of that?
I've always said my Serbian friends, sometimes I need a break from them. The Serbians don't move the same as us, guys. They're the crosses of Europe. They move a little funky. Cause remember, he went on the COVID tour. Him and the boys went on the COVID tour in the peak of COVID at the beginning when everyone was panicked.
They don't care.
He went on a COVID world tour, moving and grooving. Hey, Serbians, you know, with Serbian people, I never legislate Western narratives on them. I've got too many people on my side from that part of the world. Novak, you do your thing. We'll see you when you're ready, pal. I've dealt with these people before, so I'm not shocked.
Yeah, it's so funny. I actually met two Serbian girls a while ago, and they only realized that the other one was Serbian when they were at school together in like high school or whatever, and they were just talking about how different Serbian people are, like the kinds of things that they care about and that they say to each other. And they're a very different culture, hey? I like the way you say that the classes of Europe, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but they stick out like a sore thumb. They're very different to everyone else. Robin says Djokovic loves himself too much. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm always loath to go to those descriptions of, that person's arrogant or they love themselves too much. If I were Novak Djokovic, I'd also love myself too much. The guy's a winner on all fronts.
He's arguably the greatest tennis player of all time. He will very soon have the most majors of anybody ever.
Yeah.
So he's arguably the greatest. So,
but if he wants to make a stand against the vaccine, well, he's one of the few people in the whole world who's brave enough to do that, and he can get away with it because he's such a successful person. So go for it. I mean, you know my feeling on this. I say do whatever you want. If you want to go and get it, get it. If you don't, you don't have to. I'm annoyed. Because even though I went and got both my Pfizer shots, and I felt pretty shit last Thursday.
Strictly for travel.
For travel, and now what? Now it was a waste of time because now they're not going to allow us to travel. I didn't get this because I was afraid of COVID. I got it because I wanted to travel. Now you've removed the reason for me having to go and get the damn thing. So F you. Now I'm also I'm a vaccinated anti-vaxxer then.
I actually thought of you as soon as they were like, okay, well, there's all these travel bans. I was like, oh, Gareth is probably so annoyed because he literally just got the shot so he can travel.
I know. Well, hopefully it all opens up again. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but Cyril and pretty much all our scientists in this country who've had anything to say about this are all saying this travel ban's stupid And it doesn't make any sense scientifically. It doesn't make any sense from the point of view of not, you know, doing anything for the spread. Just get over it. And it's victimizing African countries in particular, which just seems unfair. Anyway, you must compare the aesthetics of Djokovic's wife versus Federer's. oh boy, this is not nice. This is a nasty thing, right? No, Djokovic won on that front too. What a legend, says Carl. Okay, that sounds mean. I'm not into tennis players. They're narcissistic, says Robin. Okay. Again, I'm sure the tennis players aren't into you either. Gareth, little bomba by booster shot number 8. Yeah, I'll need to.
About a little bomba?
Yeah. I'll have to get how many? 8 shots. 8 boosters.
By booster shot number 8.
Yeah. Tell you now. Gareth, thou protest too much. Man. What about what, Chilako? What are you talking about? You could use it later, I hope. I was supposed to go to Bangkok and had to cancel everything, for fuck's sake, says Maynard. Yeah, I'm with you. So irritating. I am pissed. I had to fly on the 13th. Well, I mean, we brought this up yesterday with all of these bizarre travel restrictions. I know people who are not going to be able to spend the holidays with their family, with their friends. They had expensive tickets that they've now either got to cancel or postpone or move or whatever. But you imagine it's like a serious bugger up coming in at the end of the year after a year that most people haven't loved, to be perfectly frank. Now they have to put up with this shit. I find it appalling that they skipped over GXI as a letter because they didn't want to offend the Chinese. And they went straight to Omicron, right? And everybody's asking why.
Yeah.
And it's because the WHO, who we know are in the pay of China, did this so they wouldn't offend the Chinese because, first of all, it's a popular name in China, and second of all, it's the name of their premier. And this is the country that should be blamed for coronavirus. So it should be Xi should have been the first strain, you ask me. Why are we looking after China's like fragility? Why are we worrying about Chinese offense? Why are we worried about these are the people who inflicted this fucking virus on the world. Being nice about it? To hell with you.
It's because people love iPhones, Gareth. You must remember everything that happens. Like, I will not move off this. Everything that happens is about geopolitical interests.
You reckon?
People love iPhones. America need to get stuff done in China. Simple. Right. That's why. Simple as.
Yeah, all right. Hey, don't forget that we've got This Is Us coming up this morning, 7:30. And we're going to be talking to Leslie Ann van Selm, who is the managing director at Kulisa Social Solutions. We'll find out a little bit about what they do and how they're empowering people in a country where we need to be doing that. We'll talk about some of the work that they're up to a little bit later on in This Is Us. That's this morning. Quick update on Bitcoin and Ethereum in case you're watching that, because it's been up and down. It dropped below 55,000 earlier this week, but now it's at 57,227 this morning. That's a Bitcoin in dollars, and $4,444 for Ethereum. That's a nice round number, 4444, right? We like that. Bit of a pattern going on there.
44.
All right, it is 7 o'clock. When we come back, we'll have a whole lot more. Lebang Mulelo and I, and we'll take your comments and your thoughts on the YouTube. You can send us that or an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Let's see what you have to say.
Cliffcentral.com.